Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. I'm here to speak on behalf of Thomas. Why does he have to bear this negative nickname all through history? It doesn't seem fair to me. I mean, come on. The other apostles messed up too, right? But we don't have Peter the denier. We never say that. Or we don't say John the timid. And yet John runs to the tomb and he's too timid to even go in until Peter shows up. I'm just going to sit here and tremble. But we never say John the timid. We never say Peter the denier. But what do we say? Doubting Thomas. Man, that's just not fair. Come on. Thomas was really a brave guy. He was a man of action. When Jesus announces that he's going to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead, I mean, some of the other apostles are saying, hey, Jesus, kind of dangerous there. You might get stoned. But what does Thomas say? Let us also go that we may die with him. That's a brave guy. The church fathers also tell us that Thomas, after the resurrection, he went to India. And in fact, many of the Indian Christians still trace their heritage back to St. Thomas. He goes to India, outside of the Roman Empire, outside of civilization. So what I hear, you know, Navy chaplain, served with Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. What I hear is Thomas is a guy who runs to the sound of the guns, and Thomas is a guy that deploys overseas. I would suggest, I'm just suggesting this, we change the nickname to Thomas the Marine. Is that, can we all agree on that? That'll work for everyone? This will be Thomas the Marine from now on. I mean, come on. I can really resonate with Thomas, though. I will be honest with you. Death is a difficult concept to grasp, right? We're not made for death. And when a loved one dies, what do we say often? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. My dad passed away a few years ago, and there I still find myself wanting to tell him something, and he's not there. And I say, I can't believe it. We are created for life, not for death. And that's why when the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. If you weren't with me, this would be pretty scary territory. Because I'm not made for death. I'm made for life. And if death is difficult to grasp, resurrection is even more difficult to grasp. I mean, Thomas saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, right? He saw that. But, you know, Lazarus, he just got sick and died. And the only thing anybody ever says is, well, it'll kind of stink if you roll away the stone. But not with Jesus. Thomas saw the crucifixion. Thomas saw the nails pounded into his hands and his feet. He saw the torture. He saw the gasping for breath. And eventually dying. And to really put a sharp point on it, literally, a spear shoved into Jesus' side to make sure he's still dead. And blood and water flows out. This is not getting sick and dying. This is a beating to a pulp, to flesh torn. You don't come back from that. I get it, Thomas. We didn't grasp death, and now you're telling me he's risen? How am I supposed to grasp that? But you know, this isn't about grasping something. This is about being grasped. Jesus grasps us. Jesus comes for Thomas. I love the scene, you know. The apostles are all there. Jesus comes among them. And he says, hey, peace be with you. Good to see you again. And then gets, as we say in the military, he gets kneecap to kneecap with Thomas. Eyeball to eyeball. He comes right for Thomas. Echoes of his parable from Luke 15, right? The woman who loses a coin and sweeps the whole house to find that coin and then rejoices so much, she tells all her friends, I found the coin. That's Jesus. And we're the coin. And Thomas is the coin. And he comes after us. And he comes after Thomas. And Thomas before said, come on, I can't believe this. But Jesus comes to him and says, come on, Thomas. Touch me and see. Put your hands into the wounds. Put your hands into my side. Feel it. Know it. The point is not about Jesus or not about Thomas's doubt, but about Jesus' relentless love and commitment to us. His chasing after us, his overwhelming and personal love for each and every one of us. This is always about Jesus. At the cross, Jesus did all he needed to do to win for us salvation, win for us forgiveness and new life. And then he asks the apostles, deliver this now. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive the sins of any, they are not forgiven. In other words, this is your job. Deliver what I have won at the cross. This is the sacred charge of the church. Deliver the forgiveness Jesus won at the cross. And he does this by enlivening our faith through the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. There's a kind of a throwaway at the end of the reading. We don't always pay attention to it. It says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Kind of like, almost like a tagline, but there's so much there. This was written for you, that you might believe. There's power here. The Holy Spirit is working in the scriptures. I've heard many of us bemoan the fact that we did not maybe live at Jesus' time to see the miracles, to hear Jesus' words. But St. John Chrysostom reminds us of the promise. The promise that Jesus speaks to Thomas, that really is he speaking to us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Anybody here ever watch the TV show The Office? Okay, a few. But in one of the devices in the show is they do the drama, but then all of a sudden they turn and talk to the camera. Well, in our reading, Jesus is turning and talking to us. He's interacting with his apostles, but when he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, he's talking to us. He's saying, I am blessing you with the power to believe and to trust and to receive what I have won for you at the cross. This, when he says, blessed, this is not some southern, oh, bless your heart sort of thing, okay? We all know what that means. But when Jesus is blessing, that means he's doing the work. He's doing something in our lives. Blessed are you. Jesus is working in your life. He is building what Hebrews 11 tells us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Jesus is doing the work. He has sent the other paraclete that he promised. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit, or breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So too for us. This assurance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We teach this in our catechism, right? Those of you who've returned from vicarage, you probably had to teach this in your catechism instruction. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength. I should get you to repeat it for me, right? Believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Jesus is working. The Holy Spirit is working. Sailors back in sailing days used to have, well, tattoos. You may have heard of them. But they would have tattooed on their fingers, their knuckles, "Hold fast. Hold fast." And it was there to remind them, hold fast to the line, hold fast to the ship in the midst of storms. But let's not fool ourselves. No amount of human strength, no amount of rank or privilege or intellect will allow us to hold fast in the storms of life. We need to be held fast, grasped by Jesus, and held close to him. And that's the promise he gives us, that he is holding fast to us. Just like Thomas, where Jesus says, "Come on, touch, feel." So too today, he says, "Come on, touch my body, touch my blood, and receive the assurance that I am with you, that I am holding you fast, that I am empowering you with the gospel." So where will that empowerment take you? Where will it propel you? For Thomas, it propelled him to India. For Paul, it propelled him to Spain. Will you go to India? Will you go to Spain? Or maybe you'll go to the Red Sea, on deck of a destroyer, praying with sailors as they shoot down missiles. Or maybe you'll go to Africa and support soldiers or National Guard members as they teach our allies the skills they'll need. Or maybe you'll go with Marines to Australia and pray with them as they work with our allies and try to keep maybe our adversaries thinking again about doing anything crazy. Where will the empowered life God has given you take you to bring what Jesus has delivered to us to bring? The gospel of forgiveness. Well, I rush to defend Thomas and Peter and John and all the other apostles and all of us who, all of us, fall short often of what God has called us to do. I am doubting. I am denying. I am timid. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he does. Like Thomas, Jesus comes after us, and he gets kneecapped to kneecap with us and declares to us, we are forgiven and we are empowered, and he is with us. We don't grasp him, He grasps us through word and sacrament. And Jesus sends us out. So Jesus' promise, spoken to Thomas, but really meant for us. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.